My guest this evening is Brian Phillips, the producing artistic director at Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, which is a very busy place these days. Later this month is the 400th anniversary of the Bard's death in 1616, 4 centuries ago. But he's still a big name in the theater. His plays show up on American stages more than the work of any other playwright. In fact, American Theater Magazine, which tracks which the most produced shows in America, they put Shakespeare off the list because he'd win every year. But then, of course, there are theaters like Cincinnati Shakespeare Company where that's their stock in trade with other sorts of classic works. Brian, tell us a little bit more about what's about to happen. You've got productions coming up of at least one familiar title and maybe another one not quite so familiar. So let's talk a little bit about Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra.
Yeah, so we were very interested in ending our current season with a sort of a signature event, something that having a resident ensemble makes it a little bit easier to accomplish. Not that these productions are easy, but going back to back with Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra seemed like a fantastic way to end our season, to be part of the Legacy 400 celebration that's happening all over the world as far as Shakespeare's legacy is concerned, and to be able to have ensemble members that are going to be in Julius Caesar and then see them down the road in Antony and Cleopatra felt like a really great way to connect a very familiar piece of work to a maybe not as familiar piece of work and allow the audience to have that bridge and greater accessibility between the two pieces. Even though Antony and Cleopatra tends to be not produced as often as Julius Caesar, it is considered one of Shakespeare's masterpieces, especially his later canon around the time of Othello, Macbeth, King Lear. So what's fantastic is you have a very younger Shakespeare doing an action-oriented piece with Julius Caesar, and then a meditation on age and empire in Antony and Cleopatra. So back to back, it's a fantastic experience.
The plays in real time back in Shakespeare's day are separated by 8 or 9 years,
correct,
apparently. And they are separated by some amount of time just within the history itself, the storytelling that is happening. So the characters who some of whom we meet in Julius Caesar are back in Antony and Cleopatra, but the world has evolved since Julius Caesar's untimely demise in the first show. Are you directing both productions?
No. Artistic Associate Sarah Clark is directing Julius Caesar, and I'm directing Antony and Cleopatra.
Okay. Can you talk about the fact that obviously there is some historic continuity and story continuity between these two, but why is Julius Caesar more frequently done? Why Antony and Cleopatra maybe less so? But are there also thematic threads that link the two?
Well, they're very different thematically. I think that Julius Caesar tends to be produced more often because there is a lot of plot to it. It's very easy to follow. It's got an exciting political thriller sort of feel to it that people can get excited about. The first half of the play is all about, do we take down this tyrant, what that conspiracy is like, and that assassination. And then part two is about the war that erupts out of that conspiracy, when Octavius Caesar comes to Rome and joins up with Antony and Lepidus and decides to fight Brutus and Cassius. So that's very exciting. Antony, a lot of the exciting pieces to the story tend to happen off stage. It's more about the relationship between Antony and Cleopatra, their love, their relationship as they're getting older, and how Antony's sort of allowing his duty to Rome to fall by the wayside. So the people that Antony teams up with in Julius Caesar tend to get irritated with him in Antony and Cleopatra. So he's got a fight between his duty to Rome and his love for Cleopatra. So they're very different in that way. But being able to follow the journey of the character through both plays, I think, makes a much more rewarding experience.
Cleopatra is one of Shakespeare's most interesting female characters. Who's playing that role?
We have this wonderful actress coming in from New York City named Chantal Jean-Pierre, who's joining us, who's played the role before for a couple of other Shakespeare companies, and we're thrilled to have her joining us for it.
I understand also that part of your ability to do this is some funding from the National Endowment for the Arts. Yes. And maybe you'd talk just a little bit about the Shakespeare in American Communities that you're part of this season.
So we're proud recipients of the NEA's Shakespeare in American Communities grant. This is the fifth year that we've won it since they've been awarding the grant. And we're very thrilled to have it as part of the Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra signature sort of back-to-back project. That funding from the NEA allows us to provide performances of both productions to schools that might not be able to normally attend one of our matinee performances. Our matinee performances, the ticket price is very inexpensive, but that still tends to be an obstacle for some of our underserved schools and communities. So this grant allows us to be able to provide programming and performances to students that might not have a chance otherwise.
Will some schools come to see both productions?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that'll be very interesting for them then. I remember when I was in high school, Julius Caesar was one that we read, but
yeah, absolutely.
Not Antony and Cleopatra. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting for them to get to see that. This funding from the NEA has really made it possible for hundreds of schools and, frankly, millions of people to see productions. You are winding down your current season, and you have one more, and then some new excitement is happening. You've already announced your season for next year, which will be the final one in your Race Street facility. So let's talk a little bit about what happens after that. There's a big hole in the ground in Over the Rhine where something's happening. So tell us a little bit about what's coming.
So we'll be kicking off the 2017-2018 season in our new home on the corner of 12th and Elm in Over the Rhine, right next to SCPA, across the street from the transept, right there opening up into Washington Park. And that's going to be our brand new 255-seat Thrust Theater that's going to allow us to expand what we've been able to do artistically, expand the audience that we're able to serve both in the evenings as well as our student audience, as well as become a better home for other community organizations that are looking for a place to be able to either do performances or have meetings. So it's going to be a fantastic opportunity that allows us to realize some of our long-held ambitions and better deliver on our mission.
Can you talk a little bit more about the building itself? You mentioned 255 seats. It'll be configured rather differently than the auditorium that you perform in now.
Correct. We're in what is essentially a storefront right now that has I guess you'd call it a proscenium sort of setup. This gives us a thrust performance space so the audience will wrap around the stage. So even though we're going to have 255 seats, from stage to back row, it's only going to be 6 rows. So we're currently at 14 rows. So even though we're expanding our capacity significantly, we're also expanding our intimacy significantly, which was important because our audience, that was a major piece that we heard during the campaign, was we don't want to lose how close and intimate we feel to the performers in your space. So we have that, as well as a balcony that's going to allow the audience to have a different perspective on the stage than they've had with our work before, as well as interesting new actors in the audience opportunities for us as well. It is a flexible thrust, though, so that entire thrust stage is able to drop down to floor level so that if we want to, we can add more seats and have a proscenium experience, or even drop that stage all the way 13 feet down and put in a swimming pool should the desire so strike us for a production in the future.
Or perhaps an orchestra pit.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Musicals, a capital idea.
There you go. And then upstairs, you will have a space that I presume will be used for rehearsals, but also for some other kinds of performances, both for Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, but perhaps for other community organizations, as you mentioned.
Yes. On the second floor, we have our sort of education center rehearsal studio performance space that has a wonderful window that looks out onto Washington Park. But we're able to close that window up, and that's where we'll have rehearsals during the day. In the evening, we can have VIP events for patrons of the theater, as well as turn it into a space for smaller productions, sort of black box-esque productions, as well as talks or community gatherings as well.
Between now and when that happens, there is another season. Do you want to do a real quick run through of the productions that you'll have next season?
Yeah, absolutely. So the 2016-2017 season, our final one on Race Street, will start with a special event, All the Great Books Abridged. We're going to make fun of all the literary adaptations we've done over the last few years. And then the subscription season proper starts off with The Diary of Anne Frank in September, followed by The Elephant Man, followed by Much Ado About Nothing. Then we'll have our holiday annual treat every Christmas story ever told and then some. Then we're going to finish our history cycle that we've been working on for the last few years with Henry VI, Wars of the Roses Part 2, which will finish Henry VI Part 2 and Henry VI Part 3 in one evening. And that will immediately be followed by Richard III, which concludes the history cycle. Then Lorraine Hansberry's Tony Award-winning play, A Raisin in the Sun, will be on our stage. And then we will conclude our season and our time at Ray Street with William Shakespeare's quote-unquote final masterpiece, The Tempest.
That will be a lovely work to conclude with and then move on to the next stage, as it were. You have not announced any of the works for your inaugural season yet.
I have not.
They're floating in your head.
They're in my head, yeah. They've been in there for a few years.
I bet. Well, that will be very exciting. Do you envision that the new space will give you the opportunity to do kinds of productions that you have not been able to do on Ray Street?
Absolutely. You made the comment about musicals. That becomes something that is possible for us in the future. Being able to perform in true rep would suddenly be possible with the wing space that we're going to have. But we've been vertically and horizontally challenged on Ray Street. So now to be able to do scenic designs that have a second story, a second floor to it, become much more possible. So finally, a balcony scene with Juliet might look more like a balcony scene than it has in the past.
Well, for more information about Cincinnati Shakespeare Company's upcoming productions of Julius Caesar and Antony and Cleopatra, as well as a link to the theater's website with more information about its plans for its new home, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I've been talking with Brian Phillips, who's the guy in charge at Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, about all that's happening this spring and beyond with Cincinnati Shakespeare. Thanks for coming by for this conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.
So are you to my thoughts as food to life, or as sweet seasoned showers are to the ground. And for the peace of you, I hold such strife as twixt a miser and his wealth is found. Now proud as an enjoyer, and anon doubting the filching age will steal his treasure. Now counting best to be with you alone, then bettered that the world may see my pleasure. Sometime all full with feasting on your sight, and by clean starved for a look, possessing or pursuing no delight save what is had or must from you be took. Thus do I pine and surfeit day by day, or gluttoning on all, or all away.